It's showtime, folks!
Ooh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Welcome in to the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. The show is overtime, and we are clocking in a little later at 6:03 on this Monday, but with good reason. Had to get some technical stuff ready that's going to enhance the flavor of today's show here. Cole, do we have it ready?
Yes.
Play it. Yep, you know the sounds of that one, if you don't. It's a song by a little band from Ireland called U2. The song is One. Why are you playing One by U2, you might ask? Well, about noon today, got the great news. The news that most of us thought was going to happen, but some had some doubts. Some had some doubts about whether or not it was going to happen. But about noon today, the Associated Press poll. The Gray Associated Press, shout out to them. At the top of this week's AP Top 25 in men's college basketball. Number one, with 48 first place votes, your Tennessee Volunteers. We're number one! We're number one!
That's right.
It happened.
Yeah!
Let's do introductions, by the way, before we get too excited. I am your host, Tanner Carson. I already told you about Cole. It's my producer, Cole McCormick, piping in some U2 here. Got Daniel Brackman with me.
Yo.
Gentlemen, what a day to be a Tennessee Volunteer.
It's a good day.
What a day. For only the second time in school history, the Tennessee Volunteers have numero uno beside their name. First time in 10 years in almost 11 months. So almost 11 years to the day, the last time it happened. Really, did you ever think, especially going through the darkness of the mediocrity of Conzo, you had the disaster that was the Donnie Tindall year, and then Rick Barnes, the deacon, had to try to get you out of the wilderness. Be realistic with me, guys. Did you ever think you'd see number one again?
No, I did not.
Except definitely not in basketball.
Yeah, no.
Maybe in football.
Definitely not.
I never thought it would happen either. But guess what? You're 16-1 Tennessee Volunteers, who after Saturday, and we will get to talking about some of the Alabama game as well, after surviving an upset attempt by the Crimson Tide, are 5-0 in the SEC. Michigan, then undefeated Michigan, went down earlier in the day at Wisconsin. Shout out to the Badgers. And then you knew it had to happen. You knew that meant Virginia was going to be the only undefeated team left in the country. And so with wins over number 9 Virginia Tech, and if they went to Cameron and knocked off number 1 Duke, you'd think they were probably going to leapfrog you for that number 1 spot. So you had to root like hell for Duke.
Yeah.
And guess what? The Devils took care of business against the Wahoos. There are no more undefeated teams left in the country. And the AP voters, they did the right thing. They set their blue blood bias aside.
Yeah.
They looked at the overall work. They looked at, okay, out of the top four teams coming into the week, the only one to go 2-0, the Tennessee Volunteers.
That's right.
Virginia, of course, loses at Duke. Talked about Michigan losing at Wisconsin. And the AP voters made sure that Duke was not going to go unpunished for dropping at home to unranked Syracuse.
Yeah.
Had to be punished for that.
Yeah, it's hard to look past.
How scared were we that we were going to look at our phones and Duke still be number one? I had my reservations.
I would not have been surprised at all.
I would not have been shocked.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been surprised, but I didn't think it was going to happen. I mean, I just find it hard to believe that they would actually still keep Duke at one. after losing at home to an unranked Syracuse team. Yeah, they beat number four, Virginia. Sure, but it's a bad loss.
And they were punished rightfully so for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, didn't drop too far. They did beat an unbeaten number four Virginia team,
mm-hmm.
who record-wise over the last few seasons has been the best team in the ACC.
Yeah.
So shout out to Duke. They got a good bounce-back victory, but we know who deserved that number one top spot.
That's right.
Oh, and Vol Twitter. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Vol Twitter absolutely exploded.
Yeah.
Just jubilation. The greatest part, all the old tweets. Oh, we had the other one ready, Cole. We have the other one ready.
Yeah, let me
while go. You're looking at
the... Oh, we got it.
Play it. Good sounds of Creed and Scott Stapp. One.
Is there Creed. Another band that sings a song entitled One?
Yeah, Metallica. But
No, it's not.
Well, Nelly.
Three Dog Night.
Nelly has his, yeah.
Yeah, I am number one.
I'm the one. DJ Khaled.
Ooh.
You know, I think it's going to take up the rest of the segment, though. But when we come back to it, ooh, might get some DJ Khaled. Going back,
no.
Going back to the best part of the day, though. Seeing all the old cold takes exposed. At the time Tennessee hired Rick Barnes, everybody saying what a disastrous hire it was. Rick Barnes is past his prime. This is a bad hire.
Yeah.
Barnes sucks. He couldn't get it done at Texas. And the even older before that, Tennessee fans, I bet you wish you had Konza Martin now.
Never.
Too bad you ran him out of town. I think we're doing just fine right now. Mm-hmm. Where's Missouri? How many votes did Missouri get in the AP poll? Oh, zero.
Yeah.
How many votes did Texas get in the AP poll? Zero.
Yeah.
I'm good right now. Who knows how long it's going to last? There's certainly a lot of tough games remaining.
Yeah. And it's great and all that we have been blessed with this number one ranking. But I'd rather be number one at the end of March.
And everybody,
end of April.
And everybody would either. And we know that AP poll rankings are really meaningless in the middle of the season. We understand that. But at the same time, like I said, this has happened once before ever in 100-plus years of Tennessee basketball.
Yeah.
We're not up here often.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's not like Duke. We haven't been – we're not Duke. We're not Kentucky, UNC. You know, we haven't been used to being up at number one. And those guys know that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And we know in the grand scheme of things this doesn't matter. But still, it's nice just for a minute. It's not just for today. Let's have this for today. Let's have this for tomorrow. Then you refocus for Vanderbilt on Wednesday. Mm. Kind of gives you awful flashbacks.
Yeah, it really does.
Last time, you're ranked number one. The very next night, you had to go to Nashville. And that terrible rig gym. As soon as Scott Stapp is saying, I feel angry, I feel helpless. That's how I felt that night in February in 2008.
That's exactly right.
Sean Foster just cannot be stopped. The Vols fell 72-69. Now, granted, this is a different Vanderbilt team you're facing.
Yeah.
That was a top 20 Vandy team that had the SEC Player of the Year on their roster.
Yeah.
And that was a different Tennessee team. This Vanderbilt team's terrible.
Yes.
They had a good start. They had a 7-2 start. They're now at 9-8, 0-5 in conference play.
Yeah. Lost their premier player.
Bryce Drew and them boys, they look like they're spiraling.
There you go.
Cannot talk.
Yeah, I'd agree with that statement. I watched their game against Mississippi State the other night. They did not look good. Not look good whatsoever.
So, no, I am not afraid, but it's ironic that this is the next opponent.
Yeah.
But, hey, at least this time we are guaranteed 24 more hours of a number one ranking. We will at least get 24 more hours.
Yep.
That's at right. The very worst. Man, this is what amazing news today. You know, it looked at several points during Saturday's contest in the second half that this would not be possible. I was on pins and needles.
I was too. Yeah, I was too.
That was almost a complete nightmare of a second half.
Yeah.
John Petty, Predator, Static Shock,
yep,
whatever you want to call him. Crabman, I think some people were calling him.
Yeah, rightfully so.
He's shooting lights out.
He was. It was scary.
It's no matter how what you did, he was always knocking it down. I thought it was going to be over. But guess what? Thanks to the determination from Tennessee basketball, specifically Admiral Schofield with a lot of clutch buckets, Grant Williams with clutch buckets and blocks.
Yeah.
And Alabama.
That close out on the three was absolutely
one of the most
huge,
amazing defensive huge. Plays I've seen quite some time. Oh, yeah, and you also had Alabama's inability to hit free throws in the second half.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. And a nice little, a very right call on that traveling call, by the way. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't traveling, he was going to be called for a hook anyway.
Sure.
Basically, John P. was digging for gold, some would say, around Admiral Schofield, if you catch my drift.
Yep, yep.
But the Vols survived 71-68. You do it. Good teams, great teams, they're going to find a way to close out the tough ones.
That's right.
You know, sometimes when you get punched in the mouth, you have to respond. I was worried we weren't going to respond. But guess what? Everything was okay in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And now here we sit, January 21st, 2019. Tennessee is number one. A lot of people are mad about it. I say bring on the haters. Admiral Schofield's saying the same thing.
Yep.
He said bring on the hate today on Twitter.
I love it.
So we were worried about, you know, maybe. Some people were worried, oh, I don't want to be number one yet. I want this team to still have a chip on their shoulder. I want this team to still have something to be angry about.
I still feel like we'd play with the chip on his shoulder.
All the people that are criticizing them now, that's just going to do the same thing.
Exactly.
I say let the team hear your hate. Let them exercise some demons about how that Alabama game in the second half went.
Speaking of that,
exercise some demons on Wednesday.
John Petty, player for Alabama, he is still...
John Petty's a crybaby.
Still tweeting. He is still tweeting about how bad the reffing was.
John
still
Petty,
tweeting,
to his credit, had a fantastic
game. Yeah, absolutely.
But guess what? When it really, really mattered, he cost his team the game. Not only by the traveling call, but also by old Grant. He met him at the summit. Knocked that ball away.
Yeah.
Knocked that ball right up into the air. The Vols were able to come down with it. So guess what, John Petty? Yeah, good for the box score. 30 points off the bench is very commendable. Mm. He was looking like Steph Curry out there with the way that you could not stop him from three. I guess a more better comparison would be Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
Still yet, though, when the game really mattered, he gave the Tide an L.
It's true. It's a good point. Going back to the game, I'm kind of surprised I still have a job because I was at work on Saturday during the game.
Mm.
And luckily,
did you break something at your place of employment, Cole? You almost did, didn't you?
I almost...
Did you cuss out a customer?
Not a customer.
Your boss?
No, the TV. But it was loud, and there were people watching.
Dude, I was in a rehab facility, so imagine what I was...
Wow.
So I was... I screamed once, and I was like, I got to relax. Got to remember where I am.
Yeah. Yeah, it was stressful. I am still happy to be employed.
Good for your employment.
It was a rough day, sir.
I'm happy
it really
for
was.
Your employment.
I am, too.
Guess what? We breathed a sigh of relief. Duke did the job.
Yep.
And now, at least for this week, your Vols got that numero uno, number one.
So I'm confused by this because everyone said people were saying that we needed Duke to win. I thought it would be better for us if Duke lost.
No, because Virginia would have been the only undefeated team in the country. And
you're
earlier
not lying,
in the week,
that's right.
They earlier in the week, the they few. Beat they beat the crap out of La Tech, who was number nine.
Mm-hmm.
They would have leapfrogged us.
Oh yeah, easily.
Ooh.
I mean, you could not leapfrog them, and I would have been okay with that. I know. I heard. Yeah, Carmelo Anthony to the Bulls.
And cash.
Yeah. Nice.
He ain't gonna play.
No, that's according to Woj. But yeah. Rejoice, Vol fans! Rejoice. Number one. Shout it loud and proud. Even if it is only for a couple days, then you reset and take care of business.
Mm-hmm.
But just let us have this for today.
Feels good.
We've sat through so much crap.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be able to just gloat for a little bit. It's going to be okay. And by the way, don't think of entering my mentions.
Yeah.
If your team isn't number one in the country, if your team isn't tied for the best record in the country,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
if your team's not undefeated in SEC, don't even think about tweaking at me. Don't. In fact, if I see you out in person, don't look at mine. Don't look at my direction.
Don't look at my face.
Unless you are a fellow Vol fan. Mm. Yeah, don't bring up Konso. Don't bring up anything.
Mm. That's a good point.
Put some respect on our names.
That's right. That's right.
We got Lucas Panzica joining us at 6:30, so we're going ahead and take a break, come back with another segment, and then he will join us the one after that. He's going to talk a little bit Vol hoops. Man, I wish he could still be here on the show for this moment. And also, he'll talk some Titans news. Titans have their OC. He's a dude named Arthur. The only Arthur I recognize is Arthur Morgan.
Or Arthur
Red Dead Redemption 2.
Arthur the Aardvark.
That's also good, Arthur. Talk about Arthur Smith. That's going to be an interesting conversation.
Russell's uncle.
Yes. We have to take this break here. You're listening to Overtime here on Fox Sports Knoxville, your station that brings you coverage of your number one ranked Tennessee Volunteers. We will keep reminding you that. We will talk more about your number one Tennessee Volunteers. We got a lot of other good stuff to get to as well. 865-546-8200. If you want to call in and talk about the number one Tennessee Volunteers, we will be right back after this break. Stay with us. Back in here, Daniel Brantman just made himself a nice cup of coffee.
I did.
That's strong. It smells very good.
It smells delicious.
I'm a big coffee drinker. I can't have it at this time. There's been rare times I've had to drink coffee this late at night. It was usually before I have like a test coming up where I had to do a paper.
Yeah, I'll be all right. Take a little dosage of some Z-Quil.
I love nice. That stuff. Love that stuff.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Oh.
It knocks you out.
That it does. Continuing conversation here about the big news for Tennessee basketball. Number one for only the second time in school history. Let's talk a little bit about Saturday's game. 71-68, the Vols survived a big-time upset attempt from the Tide. Man, I was losing it.
Yeah.
The start of that second half because ended the second half thinking now, yeah, up 12, and I think we're going to like cruise to maybe like a 15-point victory, and because I thought it could have been much worse.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just saying I thought you missed a couple shots that you could have hit. You had a couple lapses in the paint on defense. I think you could have been up 20 at halftime.
There was a span of like 5 minutes where they were just forcing up these horrific shots.
Yes.
Horrible-looking shots. And I'm just sitting there watching, like, what are y'all doing? This is not how you guys play basketball.
The second half was very anti-Tennessee this season because you went from, I forgot what the exact percentage was in the first half, but I do remember the exact percentage in the second half. You shot 29. Oh, there it is on SportsCenter, by the way.
Michigan State with 2 votes.
Man, Michigan versus Michigan State in the Big Ten is going to be a good race to watch. But you see that Tennessee, 48 votes, first place votes. Duke with 11. UVA still getting 3 first place votes. That's very interesting. Michigan State's at 6, but they get 2 first place votes.
How about the Wolfpack of Nevada?
Yeah.
Nevada's going to be in it. They'll be in the top 10 all year, man, because of the conference they play in.
Yeah.
They have a good team. I would not want to see them in the tournament.
Yeah, that's a good
point. I would
point.
Not want to see the Martin Twins in a tournament.
They're deadly.
Going back to talking about the game, though, 29.4% is what you shot in the second half, and you still won.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's incredible. I think that's insane because you were shooting around, if not above 50% in the first half.
Yeah.
And a lot of that, you mentioned DB, Alabama, credit to them, they forced you in some bad shots. But also, I thought there were several instances where you had good shots, but the rim was so unkind. There were so many that just bounced out. Yeah.
Yep.
And like, I'm thinking, it's like, what do we have to do to get the lid off our own rim in our own gym?
Yeah.
I'd never seen anything like it. But yeah, it's just, we talked about it in the first segment. If Alabama doesn't miss all those free throws, they probably win. If they just make a few more, probably a different game.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully, for all the good John Petty did, He missed some free throws. Fairly good Dante Hall did. He's missing free throws, et cetera, et cetera. And you're able to be in position to win that game. And what?
I did not know that there was good basketball on tonight.
There's a lot of good basketball.
We got Sorry. Three top 25 versus top 25 games.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got some good hoops on tonight.
Word.
But Alabama came out of the locker room, man. So 44-32 halftime lead for the Vols. Alabama's run, and this was a run they continued from the end of the second half. Let me see the exact run. So Tennessee had a 44-29 lead with a minute left in the first half. Let me see when this exactly ended. By the time it was 16:37 to go in the game, Alabama was up 45-44, so they made a 16-0 run.
Yeah.
That's something that Tennessee is not allowed this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it with such
ease,
and they had all the momentum was on their side.
Oh, yeah.
And they were playing with a lot more hustle than you. They were playing with more spirit than you on both sides of the ball. And I was really worried when they came out and got that lead.
Petty just couldn't be stopped.
No, he couldn't, but to Tennessee's credit, they never let the game get out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
I think what was Alabama's biggest lead here? They had a 3-point lead. I'm keeping up. I don't think it got above three.
Yeah.
So, granted, you were always within one possession. They had it up to 63-60 after Dante Hall. And, man, the sooner I'll have to face Dante Hall again, forget about John Petty. Dante Hall's been a nightmare.
Yeah, he has been.
He's been a nightmare. He ate Kyle Alexander's lunch.
Yeah. He killed us last year, too, down there.
He had eight dunks last year down in Coleman.
Yeah.
And, man, he had a fantastic game for himself.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they went up 63-60. And then this is when Admiral Schofield finally got going. Finished the game 4-17. But a few of those four baskets, they were made in the best time possible, though.
Yeah.
So give credit to him. Finished with a double-double as well. So even when he's not having his best game, I think he had arguably the worst game of the season. Just from a shooting percentage standpoint, he's still able to make some game-winning plays. He made that one jumper under three to tie it up. And then after Kira Lewis turned it over, Admiral made another shot again to get the lead. And how about Admiral missed one, but then Grant was right there to clean it up and put it back in.
Yeah, that was big time.
And then you see here... After Dante Hall makes a couple free throws, get within one, you had that last possession. Then when I thought that, oh, no, this is over, the offensive foul call on Grant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just
driving his shoulder right into Dante Hall.
Yeah, that was,
He gets fouled out.
Stupid.
He threw
up his forearm while he did it. It was so dumb.
No reason for him to do
Sometimes
that.
Grant Williams' basketball IQ just stuns me. It absolutely
is. And the thing is, too, and this is always going to be the biggest criticism of him because I don't see it changing anytime soon because it hasn't yet. The one major criticism of Grant Williams is him complaining to the officials all the time. He's not going to get a call like that when he complains all the time.
Exactly.
And especially when it's as blatant like that. So then, of course, Alabama gets the ball 11 seconds left. I'm absolutely sweating buckets in my bar stool at Hops and Hollers. And then John Paye travels.
Mm-hmm.
It was the right call. It was the right call. And like Daniel Bratman said earlier, Petty's still crying about that, man.
Yeah.
Still crying about it on Twitter. What this just ruins his rest of his season. He's going to be so mentally ruined over that call. It's just going to affect him in other games. Hate to see it.
You really do.
Hate to see
it. Are y'all worried about, over the last two games, our second half performance has been... poor. Is that something to worry about?
Yeah, if it becomes a trend, you don't want to see that going into Vanderbilt. I know we talked about how bad Vanderbilt is, but you're still playing on the road in an SEC environment. I think the Arkansas effort was more about the league got to such a point to where you knew they were not coming back. I think the guys just slacked off, which you never want to see. That did kind of carry over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that especially carried over in the second half against Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see this becoming the trend, but if you do, then you start to worry. I don't think it will yet.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt, the way they've been playing, That's a team, even though you're playing on the road, you can get a chance to fix a lot of things against them
mm-hmm.
before your schedule really, really gets tough.
Yeah.
We got to take a break here. We got Lucas Panzeca joining us on the other side. He's going to talk a little bit about the Vols being number one in the land. And, of course, he's out there in Dixon, Tennessee, in the mid-state, just outside of Nashville. Going to talk a little Titans football. Talk about the Titans finally naming their OC. And it's a move that's been met with some confusion. It's a move that's been met with some criticism. We'll get into that. Ask him a little bit about the NFL happenings that went on yesterday. And, yes, I say happenings because that's about the best way I can put them right now. He's going to join us next. If you want to be on after Lucas, just call us at 865-546-8200. We're going to hit this break. Overtime continues after this.
Everybody get up. It's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Space Jam. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam. All right. All right.
Back here on Overtime, about to go over to the phone lines here, bring on a voice you know well. You should know that voice. It's very recognizable, if I do say so myself.
Angelic.
Yes, very angelic. He is an Overtime and Fox Sports Knoxville alum. He's the sports director at WDKN Radio out in Dixon, Tennessee. Does all sorts of great stuff for them out there in the mid-state area. We bring on Lucas Panzeca once again. Lucas, buddy, what a day in Vol Nation.
How we doing, fellas? It's a good day.
Doing, hey, I feel like number one, Lucas. What about you?
Yeah, I'm feeling that way. I wasn't sure. I was having doubts. But when it came out officially, you couldn't deny it.
So you had some doubts, like a lot of other people did, that the AP would actually put Tennessee at number one. No, don't lie, Lucas. You're a little scared Duke would still be on top, weren't you?
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, it's fun for us. It's good that it's number one, but do play Vanderbilt in 2 days, and we all remember what happened back in 2008. So
that is true. I don't think Sean Foster's walking through that door anytime soon.
Right.
This Vanderbilt team is trash. Now, I know that the team's not going to have that type of mindset. But, yeah, it is a little bit ironic, but now it's like it's kind of like how App State beat Michigan back in the day in 07. And then years down the line, App State visited Michigan again, and Michigan put the whooping on them. Yeah, we need to exercise some demons Wednesday, Lucas. I think it will happen.
Yeah, and I'm like you guys. I completely thought Saturday afternoon was going to be a loss. I mean, as you guys know, my girlfriend is an Alabama grad, and I watched the game with her. I was a complete ass the entire first half. Kind of rubbing it in a little bit because I thought Tennessee was going to run away with it. Then the last 20 minutes, I mean, my face was white as a ghost. I thought we were going to blow it, and I was about to be really embarrassed.
That would have been very awkward. I'm glad that the balls came through in the clutch to save you some personal embarrassment, Lucas.
Yeah, no doubt. And then she's nice enough. She could have been a lot meaner than she was.
That's true. That's true. Very, very good on her for that, definitely. Staying on Vols basketball before we switch over to the Titans, because I know the Titans had some big news today, Lucas. This number one ranking, and looking at Tennessee's future games here, you don't have a really daunting task until the middle of February when you go to Rupp Arena. Now, there's obviously going to be some tougher matchups in between that. You're going to have to face Florida to get home, and they gave you a good shot when you went down there in the swamp. You go on the road to South Carolina, who has surprisingly good start to SEC play. Go on the road to Texas A&M, even though they're bad, you never take a road game for granted. And, of course, we talked about going to Vanderbilt this Wednesday. How long do you think Tennessee keeps number one by their name?
Man, I don't. The next time I see the Vols really getting challenged, I think it's going to be I really think it's going to be in Rupp Arena. Just the way the rest of these teams are playing right now, I can't really see Florida coming into Knoxville and beating Tennessee, barring an individual performance like we saw from John Petty off the bench. But, I mean, looking at this schedule, the back end of it, the transition from February to March, Tennessee really is going to have to be playing their best basketball because you're looking at the last seven games of the year, five out of seven of those games, teams that are currently in the top 25. You got Kentucky twice. You close out the year with Ole Miss, who's kind of shocked everyone this year, Kentucky, Mississippi State, and then a road trip at Auburn. So they might cruise through this middle part of the SEC schedule, but it's a good thing you got to play your best basketball in March, because Tennessee is going to face their toughest test in March.
And also, too, a team that just entered the top 25, LSU, you have to go down to Baton Rouge. You have to take on Tremont Waters and Will Wade's squad. So that's not going to be a cakewalk either. But before we go to NFL, Lucas, I think you mentioned that tough stretch coming up. Do you think it was pretty much a better scenario that Alabama did get the Vols the type of game that they gave them this Saturday, just because you think that Tennessee's had it way too easy for the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, it has crossed my mind, too, in these last couple of weeks. You know, as much as you enjoy the blowout wins in the conference, you got to think at some point there has to be some kind of wake-up call, and it's better sooner rather than later when it really matters in March. So, yeah, I'm glad somebody pushed the Vols to the edge. It needed to happen. I'm glad they didn't lose. But, I mean, they're not going to run the table in the SEC. It's not going to happen. There's going to be another wake-up call at some point, but I'm glad that they experienced one early on in the year, and I'm really sure Rick Barnes is too.
All right, switching over to I think it's a little I would say it is your bread and butter, Lucas. It's the Tennessee Titans over here. They found their OC for the 2019 season, hopefully beyond. Them making this hire here, and they didn't have to go far to get it. Titans announcing today that assistant coach Arthur Smith will be the Titans' new offensive coordinator. I will tell you, I will pass along because he asked me to. Brandon Orick, noted Colts fan here, Lucas. He is saying he told me to tell you hi, and he also told me to tell you Arthur Smith in that voice. So, give me your immediate thoughts.
What you're talking about.
Give me your immediate thoughts on Arthur Smith. Tell me, who the hell is Arthur Smith?
Well, I mean, throughout this whole search, you kind of saw the signs just pointing to an in-house hire. There was not a single name outside of the organization that was reported in any kind of consideration. And then also, you look at the rest of the, you know, the offensive coordinator openings in the league this year, you can make an argument that the Titans is the least attractive one when you're talking about Green Bay, who Matt LaFleur, I mean, obviously he's going to call the plays up there, but with the Cowboys firing Scott Linehan and 8 coaching changes in the NFL, means 8 new offensive coordinators, and the Titans not exactly at the top of that list. So I didn't think it was going to be a bombshell hire. Most of the signs were pointing to someone like Arthur Smith. And, I mean, we'll see. People forget last season, first year ever, Matt LaFleur was a play caller in his career in the NFL. Same thing here with Arthur Smith. He's a guy that's been in the building for 8 years now, survived 4 head coaches. So, and that tight end group has been a position of strength for the Titans, even dealing with all the injuries that they did this season. The way those young guys stepped up really is attributed to him. So if they were going to go in-house, I figured it would be Arthur Smith. And also, just continuity's sake, Marcus Mariota about to have his 5th year as a pro, going to have his 5th new offensive coordinator. I think that was the biggest priority in this whole thing, and that's the biggest reason they went in-house.
So let me follow up with that, talk about the continuity, and finally giving Marcus Mariota at least a familiar face, even though this is going to be another new offensive coordinator. Do you think with that in mind, is this going to end up being a positive move?
Well, we'll see. I mean, you never really know, right? I have no idea what this offense is going to look like. When you look at the coaches he worked for in Nashville, Ken Whisenhunt, Mike Munchak, and then right after that, last season with Mike Mularkey, I mean, those guys, it's a pretty broad range with Ken Whisenhunt and his pass-happy offense, Mike Mularkey and his, you know, run-first exotic smash mouth, and then Matt LaFleur this past season. So who knows what kind of offense he's going to bring on the field, but there's no question that, you know, his career as the tight ends coach is nothing but good. People have a lot of respect for him in that organization. Players were praising the hire, and again, just continuity. I mean, that's the name of the game in this entire search. Kind of felt like the whole way they were going to go with someone in-house, and it was either going to be Pat O'Hara, the quarterback's coach, or Arthur Smith. But what he did this season with Delanie Walker going down, and then he helped Jonnu Smith start to play at a high level, and then Jonnu Smith goes down for the year. And then you had guys like Anthony Firkser and Michael Pruitt and Luke Stalker stepping up and making plays. So he did a really good job with that tight ends group, especially this season. And I just think any time a guy survives 4 head coaches in the same organization, that's something pretty impressive. So I can't tell you if it's going to be a positive hire. It's just going to have to be wait and see. But in terms of continuity stake, it's probably the best possible hire they could have gotten if you're looking at it from that perspective.
Yeah, you are sounding very, very positive about this news. I mean, to a degree, I thought you were going to sound a lot more down the dumps over this type of move.
Well, and a lot of that is because I just was thinking, who are they going to go get? I mean, in my mind, it really felt like this kind of thing was going to happen. So, you know, if you were, if names were being bounced around, like the names that are going around to other jobs right now in the NFL, a lot of outside names, John DeFilippo, Steve Sarkisian, if those names are being bounced around and then they end up with Arthur Smith, it probably would be met with a little bit of disappointment. But just the way that this search went, how close vested the Titans kept it, kind of felt the whole way like they were just going to go with someone in-house. And if they're going to go with someone in-house, go with someone that's been there for the past decade and someone that has a proven track record with their position the whole time they've been there.
Sounds good enough. Lucas, moving on to the rest of the NFL here. We got Super Bowl 53 down in Atlanta, set up after yesterday for the first time in NFL history. Both the AFC and the NFC championship games go into overtime, and both road teams get a victory. The Rams win earlier in the day over the Saints on the gotta give credit to Greg Zuerlein. Say what you want to about the officiating, and certainly I'll let you talk on that if you want to, but say what you want about that. Greg Zuerlein to go on the road in the very, very loud Superdome and nail a 57-yarder to send your team to the Super Bowl, it's pretty impressive. And then, of course, Tom Brady, yeah, does his thing again, whoop-de-doo, Patriots in the Super Bowl once again. They got Rams, Patriots. Give me your thoughts on the Super Bowl matchup, and tell me what you want to about some of these officiating calls, because we have the obvious missed pass interference down there in New Orleans, and also you have a whole bunch of stuff going on in Kansas City. I think a lot of people are pointing to that BS roughing the passer call on the Chiefs. So tell me about this matchup, and tell me about these officials.
Yeah, I'll give you the roughing the passer. That was just a ridiculous call. But at the end of the day, if D Ford lines up a foot behind where he was lined up, just behind the line of scrimmage, the Chiefs win that game.
They were so close, Lucas. They were so close.
I know.
You can't trust the Chiefs to do anything right in January.
Right. It had to come down to something like that, right? But, the Saints game, that just made me sick because I can't even begin to imagine. Right after that game, I went to watch the Pats game at a buddy of mine who is a huge Saints fan. As soon as I got there, I just gave him the biggest hug because I would be broken. I don't know if I'd be able to speak to anyone for 24 hours if a Super Bowl got ripped away from me like that. So props to Saints fans that didn't break everything in their house. I mean, I don't know how I would handle that. Like I said, I'd be completely broken. It's just, it's really sad that that's what it came down to, but I wanted a Rams-Chiefs rematch in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what most people were rooting for because you have to go back to the fireworks they put up in the regular season. Hell yeah, I want the two best young quarterbacks in the game going out in the Super Bowl, but I guess we have to sell for Tom Brady once again. But we will get a glimpse at the future of the quarterback position with Jared Goff. And, man, I think that Rams defense, I think they're definitely up for the challenge of trying to take down the Patriots offense. Even though this wasn't really the matchup a lot of people wanted, I'm sure most people outside of the Northeast United States did not want to see the Patriots back again. This is still 13 days out from taking place, so we got a while before it happens. But do you still think we'll be treated to a very entertaining game?
Yeah, absolutely. And get ready, because these next 13 days, all you're going to hear is going back to that first Super Bowl when the Pats beat the Rams and Tom Brady emerged with the Patriots dynasty. That's all you're going to hear about in the next 2 weeks is this rematch between the Pats and the Rams. But yeah, it's going to be a good game. I'm excited for it. I don't think it's going to be a shootout like a lot of the regular season games were. I think it'll be tight. I can see it going to overtime, but man, go Rams. I'm all about it. Sean McVay, Jared Goff, I hope they get it done. I hope they get revenge for that Super Bowl back in, 2002?
Yeah.
2005? So, go Rams. Just get ready for these next 2 weeks. All you're going to hear is going back to that rematch.
Yeah, I'm definitely rooting for beautiful human beings, Sean McVay and Jared Goff, no question about. Lucas, my man, as always, we appreciate you coming back to your roots here on Overtime and sharing your knowledge with us. Tell the people where they can hear you out there in the Mid-State area and anything you got going on this week, and also where they can follow you on social media.
Yeah, I'm at Lucas Panzica on Twitter. Not that anyone cares about Dixon County High School basketball, but WDKN.com. Got a big one against Ravenwood tomorrow. Everyone tune in.
Absolutely. You heard it there, man. So any listeners out there in the Mid-State area, you know where you can hear, in the words of Daniel Bratman, Lucas Panzica's angelic voice. Lucas, we appreciate it as always, brother. You have a good one.
Thanks, fellas. See ya.
Always good for Lucas to stop by here, man. We'll talk more about NFL's yesterday's NFL action for sure, because there's a lot to unpack. There's so much to unpack in both games. We have to go ahead and hit this break. We are up against it here. 865-546-8200 is our number. Overtime wraps up hour number one after this. Last segment of hour number one, short one here, but piggybacking off of how we finished our conversation with Lucas Panzeca, and if you missed that, just stay tuned for the hour one podcast. Get that up. If not, in the next hour, we'll get that up right after the show ends so you can hear that. Lucas Panzeca always dropping his knowledge out from the mid-state. Piggybacking off of that, though, let's talk about the Super Bowl matchup. It's set down there in Atlanta. I think Falcons fans were happy yesterday, at least, that the Saints don't have a chance to win a Super Bowl in their stadium. I'm sure that's very nice for them. I'm sure it's very nice. But so it will be the Rams traveling over to face the Patriots. The 9th Super Bowl of the Brady Belichick era.
Yeah, it's,
that they have been in. 5-3 in previous Super Bowls. The damn Patriots as an organization have been to 11 total.
Golly.
That's an NFL record, by the way. Damn it. I hate seeing it again, but I think of what Cody McClure said. He said you do have to have a big villain in these type of games. And, I mean, who's a villain outside the Northeast?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
So, I will be putting all my rooting interest behind beautiful human beings, Sean McVay and Jared Goff. And that offense that's still fantastic despite losing a good weapons like Cooper Kupp and that nasty front four. Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh got the great young Jonathan Johnson back there in the secondary. Mm-hmm. And Marcus Peters, who will probably get in a fight.
Yeah.
Probably will get in a fight. Yeah. I know we didn't really want to see the Patriots in this, and I know us, liking Alvin Kamara, wanted to see the Saints. Still yet. Objectively, this is going to be a really good matchup, right?
Mm-hmm.
Probably. This is at least going to be a game that's going to feature some defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Early thoughts on the Super Bowl from either of you?
I think it'll be...
I will say this. Scale of 1 to 10, how pumped are you?
Oh.
Just to make it easier.
6.
Yeah, I was going to say 6 or 7.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'll be a good game. I don't think it'll be fantastic, but I could be wrong, but I'm just not that excited. I did not want to see New England in it at all. I wanted it to be a Saints Chiefs Super Bowl, and that's just my preference, but it's not what we got. It'll still be good. It'll still be the Super Bowl, but I don't think it'll be, a great game.
Yeah, I haven't been overly pumped, like a 10 for a Super Bowl since Peyton Manning's last game, of course, because, yeah. I mean, it's King Peyton, obviously. I always have a sense of dread whenever the Patriots are in because there's always the fear that they can be hoisting up the damn Lombardi trophy.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I'm much more pumped this time than I was last year. I thought it was absolute doom last year. I thought there was no way Nick Foles was going to take down the Patriots.
Yeah.
And then he ended up having one of the greatest quarterbacking performances in Super Bowl history. So we'll see what Jared Goff brings to the table.
Mm-hmm.
If you really are interested in the VFL aspect, Tennessee Volunteers going to win the Super Bowl. Got John Kelly, Justin Coleman's on the Rams too, isn't he not? Someone said Justin Coleman is.
Thought he was on the Seahawks.
I thought he was still on the Seahawks.
I don't think he's with the Rams.
Well, John Kelly's at least with the Rams. Yeah. I was just fact-checking because somebody said Justin Coleman.
I don't think he is.
I haven't really been paying attention to Justin Coleman's career. And, of course, got CP, starting kickoff returner. Plays some receiver still. Attempts to play receiver for the Pats. Man, he had some bad drops. He had some bad drops yesterday.
Yeah.
So, if all's getting a Super Bowl ring, hope it's John Kelly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really
same.
Same.
I think we'll be in for a good game, though. Down there in the ATL, talk a little bit more about the NFL, what happened yesterday when we come back. Hour number two of overtime is coming up. Hiding in a hiding place where no one ever goes. In your pantry with your cupcakes. It's a little secret just around.